Hare Krishna, and good morning to all those stalwart Vaishnavas who are watching this on the internet. We bid you a good morning. Wherever you're watching this, you won't possibly get all the excitement of this temple room as we prepare to hear about Bhaktivinod Thakur. Wow. I had my first ever lesson about Bhaktivinod Thakur and his importance for the Krishna consciousness movement by my illustrious friend Tribhuvanath Prabhu. Before that day, I didn't know who Bhaktivinod Thakur was. I'd made a classical error. Classical error for a young man of my age, which was 18, is that you don't really know what to do with your body before you reach full maturity. Between the ages of 15 and 19, you don't really know what to do with your body. You know, the feet sort of move independently of the arms, and everything moves independently of the brain. This is youth. And that sometimes people come and they join the ashram at that age. I was one of those. So Tribhuvanath had asked me to get something, and I wanted to get to another part of the van. We had a big, long Mercedes van, as he did, usually, for doing festivals. And Tribhuvanath had some proprietary rights over my soul, because he had saved me from a pop festival. So I think that when he came to the temple president and he said, I want that man to travel with me, because I pulled him out of a pop festival. So I think the temple president said, well, that gives you, you know, first rights. Just see how in the Hare Krishna movement we are trafficked. We are trafficked from preacher to preacher. Anyway, I have a smile on my face, internet listeners. Do not be afraid. So I was trying to get to someone. Little did I know that he'd set up a little box and he had put all the pictures of the acharyas in a line. It is common Gaudiya practice that we worship not only our own Guru Maharaj, but we also worship our Param Guru. And our Param Guru is, of course, our Guru's Guru. And then we worship his Guru and his Guru. So we have five pictures. So if you were really, in the 1970s, if you were really, really good, you'd have not only a picture of Prabhupada, but if you could find one, you'd have a picture of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur. And if you could find all the pictures, perhaps in an old book, and you cut them up, in fact, you'd need two old books because the pictures were back to back. So anyway, Tribhuvanath had the full set, and the full kit, and there was Bhaktivinod Thakur, whose head I promptly jumped over. I used to do the high jump when I was a kid. Anyway, on this particular occasion, I knocked over the line of acharyas, and Tribhuvanath exploded. And it was then, in the confines of a yellow Mercedes van, that I first discovered how important all of the acharyas are. Not just the spiritual master, but all of the acharyas. So that was my first tough lesson. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is so important for us, not if you happen to knock his picture over, but on any other occasion, because without him, this Hare Krishna movement really would not exist. This Hare Krishna movement owes its existence to, of course, Srila Prabhupada, whose spiritual master was Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, whose father was Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Now, not simply that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the seed bearer, you know, the otherwise biological father of one of the gurus in the Krishna consciousness movement, and we sort of bypass him on our way to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No. His contribution has been so extensive that even today, when we think of the Hare Krishna morning program, or we think of the Hare Krishna evening program, or we think of prayers to Krishna, it is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's words that we sing. Who can name for me some of the songs that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written, which even today, Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya, has selected for our upliftment? Who can suggest some songs? Janavi. The Gaura Arti, that song that we sing. That song that we sing. And which many people who have been coming to Bhaktivedanta Manor for 25 years absolutely refuse to sing, even though it is displayed on a sign here. Oh, it's gone. We've given up after 25 years. People don't want to, Gujaratis never want to sing in Bengali. However, the English don't know the difference between Bengali and Gujarati, so they'll sing anything. So it's a good job Prabhupada spoke to the English first, isn't it? So, Gaura Arti. Gaura Arti is the song that commemorates the Mahaprakash Leela that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested different forms of Godhead over 21 hours at the in the courtyard of Srivas. Whenever we see a beautiful painting of the Panchatattva, we see them usually standing on some checkered flooring with a nice arch behind it. This is meant to figuratively suggest the courtyard of Shiva's, whose courtyard was surrounded by a wall. And this wall separated the local neighbors from where these huge kirtans were going on every night. So on one particular night, something very magical happened. So this magical event is captured by this song, Gaura Arti. Another one, gentlemen. Yashomati Nandana. And a favorite of Tribhuvanath, actually. Yashomati Nandana. Because the first time that he had heard that song was in a recording by Achyutananda, who at the age of 16 had gone to India. At the age of 19 had taken sannyas. He really got off with a great push. And he'd learned the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And what did Prabhupada say about him? He said, I gave you the Hare Krishna mantra, Panchatattva, Jai Radha Madhava, Govinda Jai Jai, Bas. He said, and Achyutananda has given us everything else. So Achyutananda brought all these songs. And Prabhupada, of course, accepted them when they were presented in 1974 in the form of the very first Hare Krishna songbook. So from that day, we all learned how to sing Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs. Jai Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. Songs are very important. Why are songs important? Because everybody likes a jingle. Everybody likes a jingle. It's psychological. When you turn on the radio, you know, and there's local advertising, you get a jingle. Why? Because the jingle sticks in your head. And because the jingle sticks in your head, the words stick in your head. Come up and shop at, you know, Harrison's. We remember that. There was one devotee who was drowning in the Ganga. Have you heard this story? He was drowning in the Ganga. Actually drowning, physically drowning. And as he was spending his last moments here on earth, blurbing away, there was a song that just went round. He was a devotee, so there was a song that went round and round in its head. And at that moment, some Bengalis, who, unlike many Indians, could swim, came and rescued him and pulled him out. And as they were pumping him, pumping all the water out of his lungs, he told them, oh, thank you so much. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna has delivered me. And they thought, oh, Prabhupada disciple. We have saved a Prabhupada disciple. Very nice thing for us to do. He said, yes. He said, there was one song that kept going round in my head. And they said, oh, Prabhuji, Harinam, Harinam. He said, no. Now hands that do dishes can be soft as your face with mild green fairy liquid. What a thing to remember. What a thing to remember. As you're drowning in the Ganga, in Mayapur. What a thing to remember. And yet, because he'd learned it in his childhood, the song was deeply rooted. So be careful. If you want your children to die this time round, as Vaishnav parents, with Michael Jackson in their heads as their last moment, then play them Michael Jackson. Let them listen to whatever. But if you want your children to stand a cat in hell's chance of being Krishna conscious in their very last moments, remember, that sound that you have listened to all your life, that will be the thing that you remember most. That will be the thing that you remember most. And anyone who has gone through that drowning experience or a near-death experience, I know I've been through that experience myself, your entire consciousness, you can't help it. It just goes back, 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 back. Unfortunately, before the age of 18, I don't have any Vaishnava remembrances. There was nothing there. There was just English folk music, which won't get me very far. It'll probably get me reborn as a nice, kind of nice guy in Glastonbury or something. Nothing wrong with Glastonbury, nothing wrong with English folk music, but it won't take you back to Godhead. So that is why Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote so many songs. But he didn't write the tunes, folks. He didn't write the tunes. The tunes came from other people. At that time, as I say in many classes, there were Sufis wandering around in Bengal. And they had a lot of popular tunes. They were musicians. There's a musician caste. And the musician caste is like the pop stars or X Factor wannabes of today. They like to sing. And sometimes you see people sing and they've just got it. And sometimes people open their mouth and something comes out and they don't have the X Factor. They have the Z Factor. They cannot sing. Neither can they keep time. So these people, they are not in the musician caste. But in India, there's a whole caste of people who are expert singers, expert musicians. You can sing them a tune. 20 years later, they can remember you and the tune that you sung. There was one man, there was two British army officers who had a fight, a bloody fight down by the banks of the Ganga. And they were punching the daylights out of each other. No one else was there. And eventually they, exhausted, went back to their barracks. And actually, my grandfather was in India. And he was also living by the bank of the Ganga. But it wasn't him. But anyway, they went back to the barracks and the military police saw them. And they said, you've both been fighting. This has to be punished. Which started it. And they both pointed at each other. So they said, all right, we'll have a trial. So they had a trial. And they said, were there any witnesses? And they both said, no. No one was there. Well, there was one old Indian man who was there. But he didn't speak English. Well, find him. Find him and bring him. So through an interpreter, through speaking in Hindi, they asked the man, Who started the fight? And then the man said, well, I can tell you what their conversation was. And they said, but it was 5 weeks ago. And he said, try me. So at that point, he started to speak in English, a language that he did not know, exactly what these men had been saying to each other. The court was astonished. How can this man remember a conversation from weeks ago? And he was just witnessing. But he did. So, some skills, when your mother's 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 mother was a musician, don't be so surprised if when you grow up, you're a musician. This is what Varnashram means, that your mother's 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 mother is a musician, and you're a musician. That's why sometimes there's an immobility within what we call the caste system. Because people intermarry for so many generations that they become very expert. So if you want a mathematician, go to South India. If you want a playwright or a musician, go to Bengal. You'll find lots of them there. The only problem is that these expert musicians, they're also expert at begging for money. They're expert at begging for money. And some of them were Sufis. And some of them were traveling around in Bengal. And they had expert lyrics that would tease people's emotions. I've met many songwriters, and they say what you have to do is you have to give people a hook and a chorus, so that a repetitive chorus, like Radhe Sham 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 Sita Ram Ram Ram. Okay. Unfortunately, that will take you, to a place of confused consciousness. It's called Rasabhasa. But it's, it's poetry. Nittai Gaur Radhe Sham Hare Krishna Hare Ram. It's poetry. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur's son said, if you ever hear someone say that, put your fingers in your ears and go, Vishnu, 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 Vishnu. He said, it is Rasabhas. When the people singing that kirtan came by his ashram, Bhaktisiddhanta used to send out the brahmacharis to bang gongs until they'd gone away. Unfortunately, behind our Krishna Balaram temple, there was an ashram. And very loudly, sometimes you could hear them singing this. So Prabhupada said, we should sing to the deities here in our Krishna Balaram temple, Nitai Gaur Radhesham Jai Krishna Balaram. So the Gurukul boys used to sing this on their way to take bath. So the point is, catchy lyrics, catchy tune. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to borrow, he used to write the catchy lyrics, and he used to then borrow the tunes, the popular tunes of the day, and he used to graft them together. He said, why? He said, because the ear and the holy name of the Lord are like two metals. And if you have some borax, some flux, he said, then these two metals can be welded together. He said, so the job of music and the beat is to weld the holy name of the Lord and the ear of the servant of the Lord together. So that's why he wrote so many songs. He wrote so many songs. He wrote songs and he printed them up as pamphlets to give out at his Namahata programs. He wrote songs in books. He wrote songs of poetry for serious practitioners of Krishna consciousness. He wrote songs for Babaji's. He signed them either Kedarnath Dutt, or he didn't sign them, or he signed them the Wandering Minstrel. This was another of his epithets, the Wandering Minstrel, the Wandering Bowel. So people would think that they're singing a bowel song, but actually they were singing a song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And some of them have proved popular. Now in India, Jai Radha Madhava is very popular. You can go all over India and you'll hear this song. Nobody knows where it came from. Even someone sitting in this class, you may not know that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote that. I remember hearing it one place in India and then being very surprised. Oh, why are these people listening to Jai Radha Madhava? Well, they're listening because it's a good song. That's a good song. It's short. You can remember the words. It's all the names of Krishna. It's got a great tune. And if you sing it properly, it will send you into ecstasy, as Srila Prabhupada found. He chanted it one day and he was in trance. So Jai Radha Madhava, a very powerful song. And there are other songs. We probably sing about 5% of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs. Only 5%. There is a great, thank you very much, young man. There is a great tradition there just waiting to be discovered. Of course, many of us look at the songs, we can't for the life of us think of the tune. You look at the song and there's no tune. It's not a song. It's just words on a page. So, the other thing that Bhaktivinoda Thakur did was he wrote books, of course. He wrote books. Why did he write books? He write books as a permanent source of information and inspiration. What sort of books do you write? Depends who the audience is. If you're singing, I have a friend who's, he sometimes goes around old folks' homes and he plays the piano and he sings songs. And because they're all over 65, 70, some of them are, you know, up to 85 years old, they don't know any pop songs. For them, pop songs means songs of the 1930s, songs of the 1940s. So he's had to learn, in order to satisfy his audience, he's had to learn all these songs, and then everybody sings. Because that song triggers memories of when they were young, when they were happy. Okay, when a tight perm was actually fashionable. And where everybody wore hats. Wonderful. So, and an A-line skirt was something extremely brave. Extremely brave. Anyway, so he sings according to the audience. So when you're trying to give Krishna consciousness to a particular audience, you take into consideration their adhikar, their qualifications. Are these people qualified to hear what I've got to say? And if not, how do I get this message over to them? So Prabhupada says if there's a fire in the house in Russia, and you just happen to be in, you know, in a hotel in Russia, but you can't speak Russian, if you run up and down the corridors, banging on doors, going, fire, 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 and you are distressed enough, the communication in that sound vibration, even though it's not Russian, will actually make people come out and understand what you mean. So that's one form of communication. The other form of communication is a little more sophisticated, and that's what we call nice communication. Nice communication means N stands for needs. What are people's needs? What do they actually need in their life? I stands for interests. What are people actually interested in? No point giving Krishna consciousness in a form that really they're not interested in. Okay. So C stands for concerns. Yeah. What are they worried about? They see you standing there with paint on your face and no hair. What are they a little bit worried about? Okay. They could be worried about anything, you see. And E stands for expectations. What do they expect to gain? N-I-C-E, nice. So when preaching is nice, it takes into consideration the other person as well. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur took into consideration the population of the day. And he wrote songs for the population of the day. So popular tunes, but with the lyrics all explaining pure devotional service to Krishna. Now, Krishna can be very interesting or very boring. Krishna consciousness can be extremely boring. If you're listening to a person who's actually bored in spiritual life. Or Krishna can be fascinating if you're listening to someone. Thank you, Paravita. I'll just do the words, you do the actions. If you're listening to a person who's actually interested in the subject matter and trying to find something that you're interested in too, then communication takes place. If not, boredom on both sides. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was trying to communicate interesting information that he found interesting and trying to find something that other people would find interesting too. And in many cases, Prabhupada would speak, of course, but he would speak for a very short time. Some cases, Prabhupada would not speak at all. You can say everything in 2 minutes. One time, Prabhupada was asked to take part in a pop show in Amsterdam. And the devotees were told by the people who ran the pop show, pop music show, Prabhupada, they want us, and they've agreed that you can speak, but only for 2 minutes. But it means you have to go all the way there to Amsterdam from London and all the way back just to speak for 2 minutes. The Prabhupada said, yes, come on, let's go. He said, I can explain Krishna consciousness, I can explain everything in 2 minutes. And one time in the Vondelpark, also in Amsterdam, Prabhupada just said, kirtan and prasadam. He didn't want to speak. He just he looked at the audience and he said, kirtan and prasadam. Sometimes he would speak. Sometimes he went, one time he went to a school and he was surrounded by a group of 9-year-old children. And he spoke in a very elevated way. The devotees couldn't understand, why is Prabhupada speaking like that? Very elevated philosophy. And sometimes Prabhupada would just like he met with the racing driver, Graham Hill, here, upstairs. And he just, you know, you look in the conversation book and you think, oh, I wonder what Prabhupada said to Graham Hill. Well, don't check for what Prabhupada said to Graham Hill. Check for how much Prabhupada listened. And if you go through the conversation book, there's at least Graham Hill is speaking for more than half an hour about racing cars. But then when Prabhupada saw an opportunity to speak, then he spoke. So trying to find the needs, interests, concerns, and expectations. This is a good preacher. And if you can do that, and yet you can encourage people to take to Krishna consciousness, then you are listed in the parampara of acharyas. And if not, in history, people look and they will think, yes, he's not a very important person, and the parampara will not list their name. Just like we go from Bhaktivinoda Thakur to Jagannath Das Babaji and from Jagannath Das Babaji to Baladeva Vijayabhushana. Well, excuse me, Between Jagannath Das Babaji and Baladev Vijayabhushana, there's Uddhava Das Babaji, Bhagavat Das Babaji, Madhusudan Das Babaji. What happened to them in the list of 32 names? Well, nothing, they're there. But we don't know about them because they're not listed. Their contribution was insufficient in order to be listed in a parampara. So the point here is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the expert of all experts at getting people to take up Krishna consciousness. He was so successful. Why was he successful? Not only needs, interests, concerns, and expectations, but also avirodhi. Avirodhi means you find out what are the obstacles to people taking to Krishna consciousness. What are the obstacles? What's stopping them? Huh? What stops people taking to Krishna consciousness? That's a rhetorical question, by the way. And that was a pregnant pause. You don't have to answer. Well, you find out what that is, and you preach not you preach against that. Sometimes we find very expert speakers in today's society. Very expert speakers. Someone like Ben Elton. You know, Ben Elton, he's a comedian. But he has some very serious messages. Expert writer, expert comedian. He can hold, 20,000 people and have them laughing. These guys are powerful. But he realizes that he's got a duty to get over an important message. So the way he does it is that he gets people to laugh about the stupidity of the bad things they do, the weak things they do, the silly things they do. And in this way, by getting people to laugh, you can actually, I shouldn't be doing that. It's a bit silly. Yeah, I should give that up. So, one of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's disciples that we spoke to shortly before he passed away, he said that my Guru Maharaj was very, very serious. And this is the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati that we think we know. My Guru Maharaj was very, very serious. He said, but with the householders, he used to make them laugh. He said, with the sannyasis, he was so serious. But with the householders, he used to make them laugh. You see, this is the interesting thing. Getting people to laugh, but laugh at the foolish things they do that are stopping them from becoming Krishna conscious. What is their virodhi? What is their obstacles? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to sometimes make people laugh, sometimes sometimes he was, for the serious practitioners, he was very heavy. So you use a different type of style for different type of situation. So in those days, of course, we have the people who were taking Krishna consciousness to be some sort of cottage industry. My father, he was Krishna conscious. My mother, she was Krishna conscious. And I'm also Krishna conscious, you see. I'm ringing the bell, waving the incense, and you can come and see the deity and give money. Now, we shouldn't... It's easy to blame them, but you've got to understand that also in Bengal for many years, it wasn't British law. It was something that we have heard of very much these days. It was called Sharia law. Sharia law is why Haridas Thakur was whipped through marketplaces. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said he was the son of a Qazi in Delhi. He was the son of a Qazi in Delhi. And he was whipped in Delhi. Then he escaped as a young man. And he came to Mayapur, came to other places. And then when the Qazi in that region discovered that he was a Muslim, who was an apostate, who had become a Hindu, he was whipped in that region. This is Sharia law. If you're the son of a Muslim, but you take to Krishna consciousness and you're chanting, you should be whipped, if not killed. The idea, of course, was to whip him until he died. So please don't blame people for running away to the woods and just becoming Babajis. So if you look pre-British time, between the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and up until the time of the British, when things got a little bit enlightened, enlightened as far as Christianity, at least they didn't whip them. They just condemned them for worshipping their gods made of stone, but at least they didn't whip them. We find a lot of people were hiding away in the forest, hiding away in the hills. And those people that managed to survive, they survived because they registered themselves as what was called dhimmis. A dhimmi is a person who's a Hindu who's allowed to do Krishna consciousness, but in order to practice Krishna consciousness, he has to pay a heavy tax. And who do you pay your tax to? You pay your tax to the local collector, who's a representative of the Qazi, who's a representative of the Sultan. So this was the situation. Not easy. Not easy at all. So then came the British. And the British, things lightened up. And they just laughed at the Hindus. They didn't whip them, but they laughed at them. Said, oh, just see, bowing down to graven images. Bowing down to graven images. Of course, the Bible and Islam and Judaism, of course, all forbid the bowing down to an idol made of stone or wood or clay or metal like this. This is all, you know, blasphemy, actually, to think that God can come in this form. Of course, it's not. But what happened was the Bengali intellectuals, they were very intelligent, and in order to get on, just to get on in your career, you had to really hobnob with the British. So here we have 250 years of the Bengalis hobnobbing with the British. And that led to a development of other types of religion. Other types of religion that were Vedic, but had nothing to do with deity worship. Nothing to do with, you know, the caste system. Nothing to do with, you know, not too much ringing bells and incense and, you know, butter lamps. But it was to do with so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, what did he do? He wrote things in English. He wrote things in English that didn't contain any references to deity worship. Because he was competing with two other groups that were at the time. One was, and I'm pointing at you, Maharaj, Swami Dayanand. Swami Dayanand. Swami Dayanand created a group. And the other group was the Ram Mohan Roy, who started a group known as the Brahmo Samaj. And then there's another group called the Arya Samaj also. So fire yagyas, charity work, but no deity worship. No deity worship whatsoever. So these people were very, very anti their own culture. So that by the time Bhaktivinoda Thakur comes along, you can't even find a Chaitanya Charitamrita in the whole of Bengal. This is the situation. That's like going to Stratford-on-Avon and walking into a shop in Stratford-on-Avon and saying, could you sell me the complete works of Shakespeare, please? And they go, Shakespeare? Who's that? Okay, there's a lot of blank faces here. Okay, whose mother tongue is not English? Put your hands up. If your mother tongue is not English, okay. Then, very good. All right. From my British heart, I forgive you. Shakespeare was a... Anyway, forget it. It's okay. Just let that one go. Just let that one go over your heads. So anyway, Bhaktivinoda Thakur could not find the Chaitanya Charitamrita, so he had to research and find it. So just as Prabhupada, what was the greatest opposition to Prabhupada? The greatest theological opposition. It wasn't other religions, actually. Prabhupada didn't, you know... He didn't write about Christianity, how it was the bane of the world, and he didn't do that. He said, yeah, Jesus, Shaktivesh Avatar, no problem. It was like, you know, Islam, yeah, chant the names of God, you know, Allah, Jehovah, Yahweh, Buddha, yeah, no problem. But when it came to the scientists, Prabhupada's, you know, the hairs on the back of his neck would stand up. Scientists! And for us, we did not know why the scientists would make Prabhupada so angry, you know. Science. And Prabhupada was a scientist, you know. He was a scientist for 40 years. He lived and worked as a scientist. He was trained as a chemist. And he was a chemical pharmaceutical manufacturer and distributor, right? With a line of pharmacies. Where do you think we get the word show bottle, the show bottle guru from? Because it was the British practice to put coloured bottles of water, which contained no medicines whatsoever, but they were displayed in the window. So Prabhupada said, show bottle, simply show bottle. Everybody's scratching their heads. What is the show bottle? Okay, show bottle? What is the show bottle? So it was the scientists. And then Prabhupada was very strong on the Mayavadis. Well, when was the last time you saw a Mayavadi? You know, a real Mayavadi. Okay, now we see them. It was almost like Prabhupada was angry about people that didn't exist. Okay, but they did exist. And they're there always. That mentality is there. Mentality is there. So the cheating mentality, show bottle, scientists, Mayavadis, and people who take Krishna consciousness cheaply. The Sahajiyas, or the Jati Gosai. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur categorized 13 upper sampradayas, and he wrote against them. Bhakti Siddhanta took that, and he wrote against them. Prabhupada spoke against them, and sometimes we're still bewildered, because what he's talking about is a category of consciousness. You see? Category of consciousness. So this was we are really a Jatashatru. For us, there's no enemies. But if someone is actively stopping someone from getting that thing that they have to do in their life, that they have to get in their life, then we say, we have to speak up. You see, we have to speak up. When Mrs. Thatcher took away the school children's milk, we have to speak up. Okay? When they're doing nuclear testing or animal testing, we have to speak up. Why do we have to speak up? Because if we don't speak up, the animals can't speak up. The people on whose islands the nuclear testing is being done, maybe they can't speak up. Maybe they don't know what democracy or parliamentary democracy or protest vote is. But if you do, then you have to. Maybe they have no money. So we have to speak up. Maybe people are hungry. Now we have to speak up. People are going hungry. So whatever are the ills of society, it's not just that we give Krishna consciousness as an antidote or a remedy to those ills, but we have to speak up about the ills themselves. We have to say, no, this is wrong. And then show how Krishna consciousness could change it. And while you're speaking about how Krishna consciousness could change it, please do something about it at the same time. Play your part to do something about it. So this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He traveled as a deputy collector and a magistrate, and he started 500 groups where people sang his songs and read his books. Some of those groups are still going today. He started those groups in the 1860s. You can go to places in Bengal and Bangladesh, and you will still find a group started by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Then his son came along and turned some of those groups into branches of the Gaudiya Mutt. We look and we think, how is it possible that 64 branches of the Gaudiya Mutt started so quickly in 18 years? That's because some of them were already practicing foundational Namahatta groups. Just like today, some of our brahmacharis are going and they're thinking about a time when they might start considering thinking about going out from Bhaktivedanta Manor and living somewhere else. Gosh, wouldn't that be a wonderful day? But at the moment, just for the time being, we have to stay at Bhaktivedanta Manor for another 10 years to get trained. Well, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, thank God, and Srila Prabhupada, that was not his philosophy. No, you're trained. I was teaching some police officers the other day. They come here now for training. I have fun with them. I said a few years ago, when I used to sing along Oxford Street, banging my drum, I said, you would have arrested me. I said, now your chief officers are sending you here to be trained by me. I said, I find that very amusing. And they laughed. But I said, how long does it take to be trained to be a police officer? They said, 17 weeks. I said, 17 weeks to be out on the street in a uniform? They said, yes. I said, why? They said, because there's an urgency. We need police officers. How long does it take to be a trained preacher in Krishna consciousness before you go out on the street? For selling books? 4 days. Huh? For going and starting a branch of Krishna consciousness in another town? 10 years. 15 years. Lifetime. Lifetimes, Prabhu. Training. So much training we need to do. Unfortunately, there is an emergency. People are not getting sufficient prasadam. They're not getting the holy name. They're not getting books. And They're still hungry. They're spiritually hungry. And if they're hungry and they're not getting our food, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's food, then they're going somewhere else. And this is a wonderful movement for helping other gurus who are not in the line of Krishna consciousness to sell their wares. So we have Sufis out there singing their songs. We have, the situation is the same. We have the Jati Gosais and the Sahajas and all the 13 Sampradayas. You will find them in England because it's a level of consciousness. So the members of this Krishna consciousness movement have to travel and preach. This was something that was understood by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who, even though he was married, get this, folks, including all the householders who may be listening online, he had how many children? At least 11. At least 11. And he traveled and he preached and he started 500 groups. And I'm ashamed to say I only have 3 children and I can count the number of groups that I have personally started on the fingers of a two-handed man on one hand. So there's a great deal to do. So to get Bhaktivinoda Thakur's blessings, sing his songs, read his books, preach, travel as he did, and start 500 groups, nothing less, then all the acharyas will be very happy with us. So this was not the class that I had intended to give, but it's the class that I gave. I wanted to hold up various books. I will just hold up this book. This book is called the Bhajan Rahasya. Rahasya means the secret of all secrets. And in this book, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the essence of Krishna consciousness, the secret of all secret that is not given to the beginners of Krishna consciousness. Wow, I thought as I bought this book in Loy Bazaar. Now I have it. Nobody has this book. They just have Prabhupada's books. But I have the Bhajan Rahasya. And do you know what the secret of all secrets is? Oh, Trinadapi Sunichena Tarurapi. Be humbler than the straw in the street. And Harinama, Harinama, Harinama Eva Kevalam. Oh dear, I was cheated. Next time I go to Vrindavan, I'm going to take this book back. It's not the secret of secrets. I could have found out that by reading Prabhupada's books. Yes, because Prabhupada's books are the essence of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books, the essence of Bhaktisiddhanta's, and all the previous acharyas. You will find everything there. Hare Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. And I was going to sing you one song. But this is the point where you pay me not to sing. No, it's okay. But I'm not going to sing that song. I'm just going to... Was it something I said? You know when a Bengali leaves the room before an Englishman sings a Bengali song? He said, no, I can't subject myself to you strangling my mother's language. It goes like this. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. No. Jiva Doye Kori. Swaparshada. Swiya. Dhamma. Saha Avatari. Antyata. Durlaba. Prema Karivare Dan Shikaya Sharanagati Bhakatera Pran. Okay, I can see you're good at this. We'll try it more. Dainya Atma Nivedana Goptritve Varana Avasya Rakshibe Krishna Vishvasha Palan Bhakti Anukula Matra Kariyera Svikar Bhakti Pratikula Bhava Varjan Angikara Sadanga Sharanagati Haive. Excuse me. Haive Yahar Tanhara Prartana Sune Sri Nanda Kumar Rupa Sanatana Pade Dante Trina Kori Bhakati Vinoda Pade Duhupada Dhari Kandiya Kandiya Bale Ametu Adhama Shikaya Sharanagati. Karahe Uttama. Out of compassion for the fallen souls, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this world with his personal associates and divine abode in order to distribute the extremely rare love of Godhead. He teaches Sharanagati, surrender to the Supreme Lord. This Sharanagati is the very life of the true devotee. The ways of Sharanagati are humility. Please repeat, humility. Dedication of the self. Acceptance of the Lord as one's only maintainer. Great faith that Krishna will surely protect me. Execution of only those acts favorable to pure devotion and renunciation of all conduct adverse to pure devotion. The youthful son of Nanda Maharaj, Shri Krishna, hears the prayers of anyone who takes refuge in him by this sixfold practice. Bhaktivinod places a straw between his teeth, prostrates himself before the two Goswamis, Shirupa and Sanatan, and clasps their lotus feet with his hands. I am certainly the lowest of men, he tells them weeping, but please make me the best of men by teaching me the ways of Sharanagati. Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. Now, a very special treat this morning is that there is no breakfast. It is fasting. Haribo! Sharanagati ki jai. So we have time for questions, but I will finish at, what should we say, 8:45? Is that all right with everyone? Let's see if you can manage. So any questions, please? I'll take questions first and then comments a little bit later. Yes, sir. Hare Krishna Prabhu. Yeah. Anything? Thank you everyone for staying. Bye bye. I can't think. Just the Saragrahi Vaishnava. But in some books, of course, you could call it a song because sometimes it's sung. He gives the conversations between Haridas Thakur and is it Jiva Goswami in the form of the Harinam Chintamani. And the Harinam Chintamani is then expanded later in the form of the... What is Harinam Chintamani expanded into? It's the code book. It's not Bhajan Rahasya. It is Krishna Samhita. Krishna Samhita. And, of course, there are several times and several modes that Bhaktivinoda Thakura tries to give the same information, the same essence of all advice. But in order to get people to take to something highest, he has to introduce them with other things also. So it's very important for Bhaktivinoda that people practice religion, just ordinary religion, that they're good people. So hence we have this, you know, beautiful piece of poetry. Because the Bengali intelligentsia at the time, of course, you know, they would drink whiskey with the British. And, of course, that doesn't really help anybody. So he wrote that song about not drinking whiskey and not drinking wine. This is a virodhi. This is an obstacle. You know, so he kind of gets into it and he lists the things that you shouldn't eat, the things that you shouldn't drink, the things that you shouldn't smoke, the things that you shouldn't do, the things that you shouldn't think. And it's all there if you want it. It's all there if you want those songs. So people would sing those songs. Because they were singing songs like, you know, Lord Nityananda's mercy has made it possible for us to eat fish. So let us eat fish, drink wine, and worship the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda is merciful even to the most fallen. So let us eat fish, drink wine, and continue in this way. These are the popular songs that people were singing. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to, you know, alas for those who, you know, drink wine, you know, this bottles of wine. Alas for those people. So, thank you, Nisringa Thakur.